Going to college often means leaving home for the first time, a milestone in any young person's life. But commentator Beth Finke's son arrived at that milestone on a different road.
Our teenage son wears diapers. He can't walk or talk. If his food isn't cut into bite-sized pieces, we have to feed him. Gus's genetic condition doesn't come with a name like Down's or Asperger's. It goes by its clinical description, trisomy 12P. Mike loved his son since the day he was born. It took me a lot longer. Truth is, I was angry at Gus. He wasn't the baby I expected. A baby was supposed to bring us joy, and the way I saw it, Gus brought nothing but trouble. I did therapeutic exercises with Gus. I cuddled him, played the piano for him, but none of it was heartfelt. Until one night, singing Gus to sleep, suddenly understanding washed over me. None of this was Gus's fault. "You didn't want it to be this way," I said to him, starting to cry now. "It's not your fault, is it?" Over and over I repeated it. "It's not your fault, Gus." I hugged and kissed him, finally able to love him and to tell him so. 16 years later, Gus communicates to us by crawling to whatever it is he needs. If he wants to hear music, for example, he scoots to the piano. He laughs and sings to the tunes, and he claps with delight any time he gets to hear live music. He loves to hold hands, especially when we're on the front porch swing. But as Gus has grown bigger, Mike and I have grown older. Shortly after Gus's 16th birthday, we realized it was time for him to move away. We hoped he'd live near enough so we could drop by, bring him out for ice cream, have him for an occasional weekend. Like other states, however, ours is in a budget crisis. It's already shut down a residential facility that was home to hundreds of people with developmental disabilities. Realizing the waiting time for Gus would grow longer, Mike and I put him on waiting lists all over the country. Last summer, a facility 4 hours away contacted us. They had an opening. Gus cried the entire first weekend he was away. So did we. "It'll take some time for us all to get used to each other," the social worker assured us over the phone. On our first visit, we found Gus happy and smiling, yet confused to have these visitors on his new turf. I sang to him. He reached out for my face, and suddenly he burst out in laughter, realizing it was really me. As I hoisted him from his wheelchair to the car to take him out for lunch, I noticed how much he'd grown. He was up to my chin. As I leaned down to kiss Gus goodbye, he took off. Couldn't wait to get back to his friends in the activity center. Visits to Gus are all fun now. No hoisting him onto the toilet, no muscling him into the shower, no changing his diapers, no drudgery. Gus seems relieved, too, finally able to do things independently of his parents. Maybe he has more in common with other teenagers than I thought.
The comments of Beth Finke, author of the upcoming memoir, Long Time No See, about losing her sight and raising a disabled child. The time is 29 minutes past the hour.